Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Stevenson, Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Monday Waffle. My name's Jared Gardner. With me is Luke Shipway. It's just a smaller team this week because it's the Easter break and everyone's full of chocolate. Luke, how are you going?
Yeah, very well, Jared. Full on chocolate indeed. You're right about that one.
Well, I think we should just jump straight into it because all we want to talk about is not chocolate anymore. We want to talk about the footy. So let's look at West Perth Peel to start with. West Perth got away with a win after a 103-point loss last week. They got ahead and beat Peel 108-73.
Yeah, it was a good win for West Perth in Shane Nelson's 100th match. We're going to talk about that a bit later on, but yeah, the West Perth midfielders are really dominant. If you look at the possessions, I mean, Aaron Black, 38, Jay Van Berlo, 29, Luke Meadows, 28 and 2 goals, Manzone, 33. I mean, you could keep racking off these lists. Nelson, who's usually up there in the 30s in possessions, he only had 20 this week, but it didn't matter. There was a very strong performance from West Perth.
It was just a spread-out performance. They even went in the game without a designated ruckman against Fremantle's new ruckman in Sean Darcy and Jonathan Griffin, who's a seasoned campaigner.
Yeah, and Sean Darcy had injury early in the game, so that probably helped West Perth out. But Griffin had 43 hitouts. I mean, to Scott Simpson's 15. But what I think where Simpson, who was the ruckman for West Perth on the weekend, took advantage, he had 27 touches, so obviously beat Griffin around the ground.
Absolutely. That was beat. Yeah. That was a smashing.
And West Perth, I mean, although they'd be happy with the victory, they were very wasteful in front of goals. They kicked 15-18, and I mean, including a 6-point third quarter where they didn't touch the scoreboard in terms of goals.
And Luke, we were talking about milestone men, Shane Nelson, the 100th game. Our own West Perth superfan, Jimmy Williams, went down and had a chat with him.
Joining me now is 100th game of Shane Nelson. Shane, from all of us here at the Monday Waffle, congratulations on your 100th game. How was that?
Oh, it was awesome, you know, especially to get the win. It was great. We normally don't do too well in milestone games, so to come out today in Mandurah is awesome.
And talk about the feeling to be able to play the game with your little brother. That must have been something special for you as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, we weren't sure it was going to happen, how early it was going to happen, but for him to be here as well makes it a bit more special. And yeah, like I said, just to get a win today after last week's dismal performance.
What was the message from Bill? Obviously, a really impressive start to the game. You led by 47 points at half time. What was the message to rebound back from that 103-point loss?
Oh, it was just, you know, stick to the things that we were doing well. I mean, we went away from that last week and we let them control the game, control the footy, and ultimately we got belted. So, you know, to come out today, we just had to, you know, match it with them and get the job done. And, you know, we matched it with them and managed to build a good lead and hold on.
And your captain, Jay Van Berlo, dobbed you in at three-quarter time. He said you actually stopped after the huddle and had a photo with a fan. Is that actually true? You got a selfie with a fan at three-quarter time?
That is true. That is true.
We will do our best to find
a bit of a stitch up. It was, you know, gotta do what you gotta do.
Just a fans man and a really good player and leader for the Falcons. Congrats on your 100th game, Shane. Well done, mate.
Cheers, dude. Thanks, mate.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
Thanks to Shane Nelson for joining our own Jimmy Williams on the weekend and talking to him after his milestone 100th match. Just some more stats from that game. Some of the better players from Peel, Roy O'Brien had 33 touches, Darcy Tucker and Cam Sutcliffe looking for maybe some Docker recalls, but it'd be tough after another win for the Dockers on the weekend. They had 27 for Tucker and 23 for Sutcliffe. And Tabana, well beaten in the first half, was able to come back and kick 3 goals and gain 25 touches.
Moving ahead to the South Fremantle-Claremont game, Luke, the Claremont Tigers have had their first defeat of the year and in almost embarrassing fashion.
Yeah, it was another good Friday match at Fremantle Community Bank Oval, and Claremont lost by 65 points to South Fremantle, but you know, they fought bravely. They lost 4 people to injuries throughout the game, including last year's Sandover medalist Jai Bolton to a knee injury.
Oh,
doesn't look good. I'm not sure what the results are then at the moment. They would be hoping that it wouldn't be a season-ending one, but yeah, it was supposed to be a top-of-the-table clash, both teams undefeated, although Claremont had kind of played the weaker sides of the Waffle, so there was This was supposed to be their first real test, and they got tested, especially with the injuries, and lost by 65. I mean, South Fremantle kicked the game's first five goals, and their contributions were very even across the board, with their defence led by Blaine Wilson here, 19 touches. Ruckman Brock Higgins had 33 hitouts and 17 touches. He had a good battle with Mitch Andrews from Claremont, who was playing his 100th game for Claremont. And then in the midfield, you know, you had Hayden Schloth racked up another 28. Tim Kelly gathered 27. Shane Hockey, 23. Captain Ryan Cook had 23 and 2 goals. So, really even performance from South Fremantle there. And, I mean, Claremont had its good players. I mean, their skipper, Jake Murphy, fought hard in the midfield. He had 26 and a goal. But like I said before, they lost knee injury to Jai Bolton and also to Bailey Rogers, a young player for Claremont. And Tom Shanahan and Zach Langdon also, their night ended early with some nasty concussions. And Keith Yu worked hard down back against South Fremantle, like undermanned defence. He had 20 touches, and Jack Bradshaw was able to kick 2 goals for Claremont as well. So, you know, they lost by 65 points. But if you were a coach, Darren Harris of Claremont, you wouldn't be bitterly disappointed. You mean you fought hard with the no bench for a lot of the game. So yeah, they'll be hoping to rebound next week.
It shows probably by the end of the game they were just worn down when Souths kicked, 8 goals in the final quarter to 2. The legs probably weren't in it anymore.
Yeah, and next week Claremont face Subiaco, so that'll be a real test for Claremont, especially they're probably going to have to work into their depth a bit, look into their reserves, who's played well in the reserves and who might get a recall. I saw Harry McCracken, he in the reserves, he had 27. He'd been in their league side for the first few weeks before getting injured, and he returned through the reserves. So he'll probably be looking to get a call up.
Could be his chance.
Yeah, they'll be hoping to use the depth that they have in the reserves comp to get them a win against Subiaco on Saturday.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti, I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle.
Come on.
Taking a look at the East Fremantle and Swan Districts match now, a much closer affair, but the Sharks are yet to taste victory still, Luke. They lost to the Swannies by 32 points in a game that looked like it was going to be blown away early in the second quarter after the Swans kicked 4 unanswered goals, and then also sadly kicking 5-1 in the last quarter when they had the breeze. They ran away with it in the end. Ryan Crowley was one of the stars of the game, though. 26 possessions and a late goal to seal it. Essentially won the game for them. He was joined in the disposals column with Adam Faulkner with 25. Freddie Clutterbuck got 25 as well. And former AFL player David Ellard was with 23. And Jesse Turner had 13 tackles, Luke.
That's quite an amazing stat.
Just attached to players. That's all he was. He was like a magnet.
Yeah, it's funny. This game was on the Saturday, and it was the closest one of the round. All the Good Friday matches were blowouts. So I'm not sure what was going on Good Friday.
It wasn't a good Friday for some teams.
It definitely wasn't.
But it was good for some others.
Yeah.
Ricky Carey could have had a better Saturday, though. He might have liked to play on Friday with the higher scores. He had 12 touches, 8 marks, and 3 goals, but he was a bit wasteful. He had 4 behinds as well. He could have had much more. And he would have been
easily been a 7-goal performance.
Exactly. I think he would have liked to be on the higher scoring teams on Friday. Talon Ames in his 250th, I think earned the, like, even though he's 250 games, gets you pretty good respect. His team loved him that game. He kept Jesse Mirko goalless. He was a wall. No one was getting past him. Jonathan Marsh worked into the game for the Sharks with 30 disposals and a goal. He did as much as he could, as well as Cameron Eardley. He had 32 as well. There's not much more you could ask, especially with 12 tackles.
Mm. With Jonathan Marsh, if you look at his stat line, I mean, 14 kicks, 16 handballs, 7 marks, 10 tackles. That's quite an amazing stat line there. He's a big fella as well, so for him to get away around the ground and get 30 touches and 10 tackles, it's a good performance in a loss, though.
Yeah, he was doing everything he could to get his team over the line.
Yeah.
He just needed more to follow him. And the Swans, later in the game, had the breeze against them, but the Sharks were inaccurate in front of goal. They kicked, at one point, 5 consecutive behinds, which just, if that just drops morale, I think, that gets into your mind, then I think the game might have started to have been won at that point.
Yeah, and although, I mean, East Fremantle would be disappointed with the loss, If you look at their previous matches throughout this year, this is probably their best performance.
Mm,
and for them, exactly. You know, Swan District's an undefeated team. They've been playing well throughout the whole year. So for them to come this close to Swans, you know, they would be disappointed that they didn't perform better. But it's encouraging to see that they're putting together better performances, and hopefully they can eventually get their first win of the season in the next coming weeks.
Exactly.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Now to the final Good Friday match. We haven't touched on it yet. It was Subiaco East Perth. They shared Leederville Oval together, the arch rivals. I think it's a tradition now for them to play on Good Friday. So, and Subiaco, geez, they got rid of East Perth quite easily. They won by 91 points on Good Friday. And, you know, Subiaco opened the season to a loss from South Fremantle, but since then they've been able to build a lot of momentum here in 2017, winning the rest of their matches. They bounced back from the loss to South Fremantle to beat Perth, West Perth and Peel Thunder, and then this now 91-point win over East Perth. So Subiaco's looking good, while the Royals, they've struggled so far in 2017 under their new coach Luke Webster. They had lost to Peel, West Perth, Swan Districts and Claremont leading into Good Friday's match. So, yeah, it wasn't a good result for East Perth, and Subiaco just continues on their way. Subiaco, they were on top from the outset, that they couldn't put East Perth away, just converting 4 goals from 10 scoring shots in the opening term. So that was disappointing from Subi, but I mean, obviously by the 91-point victory, it didn't bother them too much. They were able to keep going. The Royals just managed 3 behinds in the third term, while the Lions piled on another 5 goals in the third term to really put the game out of reach. 4 more final quarter goals to Subiaco to 2 from East Perth saw you know, them winning by 91 points. Liam Ryan, his specky last week, he's just kept the momentum going. He's kicked 6 goals from 16 touches and 7 marks for Subiaco on the weekend. Max Walters, he also continued his tremendous early season as well, kicking 3 goals from 22 possessions and 11 marks, while Bailey Matera kicked 2 goals from 18 touches. Clancy Wheeler worked hard for 19 touches and 12 hitouts and a goal. And once again, you know, Chris Phelan, he's been playing well this year. Probably your best on-ground performance from him. We'll be our Poppy Penny was able to grab an interview with him, so we'll be playing that just after this, but he was prolific again with 32 touches. The captain, Carl Horsley, had it 24 times again. Kitchen, 22. Hoskins, 23. The usual suspects for Subiaco were getting involved. And, you know, East Perth continues to play this sort of game style that's in line with what West Coast plays in the AFL. And that led to East Perth actually having 89 more possessions than Subiaco. But, you know, It's not getting any sort of results for them. So although it's good for West Coast perspective that East Perth are playing the same way West Coast are, it's not getting results for them in the waffle level. But some positives, especially for the Eagles, not necessarily for East Perth, but Lewis Jetta racked up 36 touches after being dropped, and same with Mark Hutchings. He racked up 32. Both dropped from the Eagles side, so you know, it's a good sign for them. Dom Sheed, 24, he'd be looking to work his way back into the side. Fraser McInnes, their ruckman, he had 18 touches and 22 hitouts, so that was quite good for them. Scott Jones also had 37. He's not Eagle-listed player, but, you know, it's tough for East Perth to kind of get into a groove when, you know, they're having to play the way that West Coast wants them to play. So obviously, the results, you know, it's going to be tough for East Perth for the rest of the year, especially with West Coast going to be taking their better players. Eric McKenzie, another Eagles-listed player, he had 25 and 13. So, yeah, Subiaco, they take on Claremont at East Fremantle, which should be a good game. Claremont will be looking to bounce back after the tough loss this weekend, and Subiaco just wanting to continue their momentum. East Perth, you know, they have a good chance of maybe getting their first win this weekend against Perth at Leederville Oval, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, Subiaco again, dominant 91-point victors over East Perth. And our Poppy Penny was able to catch up with best on-ground performer Chris Phelan after the game.
I'm speaking with Chris Phelan from the Subiaco Lions. Great win on Friday, Chris. What do you think got you guys over the line?
Hey, Poppy, thanks for having me. Yeah, look, it was a good four-quarter effort by the boys. It's sort of been building over the last 4 weeks. And yeah, sort of finally put it all together. I think our contested ball and our pressure acts were right up, which is what we pride ourselves on. So that went a long way to getting us a win.
Awesome. And a huge effort from you personally, 32 touches and a goal. Talk us through that.
Yeah, it's always good to get on the end of a couple of kicks, but it helps when we've got a good midfield, so when all the boys are playing their part, it makes it a lot easier for myself to get on the end of it. Craig Hoskins did a really good job on Dom Sheehy, one of their best midfielders, and Cole Horsley and Lee Kitchen were both up and about getting a lot of ball too, so yeah, it makes it a lot easier when everyone's chipping in and just playing their part.
Yeah, absolutely. And a bit of a slow start to the season for Subi. So what have you guys been working on in the early parts of the season to, I guess, rectify that?
Yeah, probably wasn't the ideal start with a big loss to South Freo and sort of just scraping over the line with a couple of those wins. But we've got a lot of new players, so they're just learning our structures and just sort of working on the cohesion between forwards, mids and backs, getting our ball movement right. And like I said earlier, we pride ourselves on the contested ball and our pressure, which probably wasn't there in the first couple of weeks, but we feel it's heading in the right direction now.
That's awesome. And you've got a big game against Claremont on Saturday. How are you guys preparing for that one?
We're looking forward to it. It's always good to see where you're at when there's a couple of teams up and about like Claremont are. I mean, they had a loss to South Fremantle, but we know they're a good side, so they'll probably be angry and they'll be ready to have a crack at us next weekend. So looking forward to the challenge.
Yeah, a bit of confidence from last week's game for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Always good to get a good win. Obviously, a big win helps. And yeah, like I said, that four-quarter effort is what we're looking for, and finally good to get one of those under the belt.
Yeah, and the team does look like it is gelling a bit better, but it makes it easy having someone like Liam Ryan to kick to.
Yeah, it definitely helps. You can pretty much kick it anywhere in the forward line, and you know Liam's half a chance to sit on someone's head, or he's quick too, so even if you spray it, he ends up getting there. So yeah, the forwards have been working really hard at training, along with the mids, to try and get that synergy together, but yeah, having Liam up there sitting on heads is pretty handy to have.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Chris.
No worries.
Good luck
you.
On the weekend.
Catch up.
This is Poppy's Pick on the Monday Waffle.
So normally this is where Poppy would talk, but Poppy can't join us for this episode either. So I, Jared, will cover the Poppy's picks. It'll be Jared's picks this week. So running through the week's selections, two of us managed to get 100% and the rest of us 50%. So Hannah and Jimmy, I don't know where they got the information from, but yeah, 4 from 4. Well done to those guys. And yeah, the rest of us, as I said, 2 each going with every single one of us who got 2 picked the exact same way as well.
Yeah.
There was no outlier. It was all the same. No one expected the results. So taking a look at the leaderboard then, Jimmy has shot to first place. He is on 16. Luke, Mel and Tash are keeping their little group together. They're sitting in equal second with 15. I sit alone on 13. Hannah and Danny are on 12. Mia and Poppy are on 11. And Sean keeping it strong down there with 10.
Sean, Poppy's down. You say Poppy was second last? This is her segment.
I know. And, I mean...
And she can't be. I mean, as she would say, you forgot to say, Poppy picks, she usually says everyone's favourite segment.
Not.
But, Poppy, if you're down the bottom, we might have to change the name. I don't know about that.
It's everyone's favourite segment to figure out what not to do.
Yeah.
That's what's happening here.
I mean, I got to admit, I got out of the gates real early with a couple of... A couple 4 out of 4s getting me going early, but I've been back to reality. So yeah.
Now it's up to Jimmy. Now it's up. I'm expecting another good performance from him. Otherwise, he's done. He's done.
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't want to see his name up there again if he doesn't get 4. That's all I expect.
Well, we'll move on to this week's games. Enough talking smack here. Well, okay. So first game, Claremont. Subiaco, 2:15 at East Fremantle Oval. Claremont's actually playing at East Fremantle Oval because Claremont Oval is not ready to play on.
Oh,
so it's a home game for Claremont, but it is at East Fremantle Oval.
Interesting,
and I'm going to tip Claremont.
You're going to tip Claremont after how well Subi went.
I'm backing my boys. No. And it is a home game.
I'm going Subi with this one.
Okay, Subi, and then 2:15 at Leaderville Oval, East Perth versus Perth. I mean, surely Perth can get the first win. I'm tipping East Perth. I mean, I think they can get up over Perth.
I'll back in this one.
Perth's only win of this year has been against East Fremantle, who we know is struggling. So I think East Perth should be able to get up against them.
Yeah, I'll back them. I'll back them in.
and 2:15 as well. All these games are at 2:15 on Saturday, and it is all these first three games anyway. West Perth versus Swan Districts at HBF Arena.
This was
a close one.
It's not easy, this one. It's not a clear-cut choice. I'm not going to back West Perth. I'm going for the Swans. I think the Swans are winning for a reason.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to agree with you there. I think the Swans will continue on their winning ways.
And then 25th of April, 4:10, Frio.
It's the Anzac Day clash.
Frio Community Bank Oval. What are you thinking? South Fremantle or East Fremantle?
This is not a tough choice for me. I think South Fremantle should be able to take care of East Fremantle very easily. You just hope from East Fremantle's perspectives that they can, you know, put in a strong performance for their fans and
yeah,
make it close at least.
It's not going to be close in my eyes. I think there'll be at least a 50-point gap to South Fremantle. They'll win.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Wrapping things up now with a quick look at the ladder. South Fremantle are sitting pretty on top with a massive percentage that separates them from Swan Districts. South Fremantle, Swans and Subi all have 16 points with 4 wins each. But yeah, it's that percentage gap. 177 for South Fremantle and next close to Swan Districts with 129. Just daylight between those. Claremont then comes in 4th place with 12 points. Peel rounds out the top 5 with 8. West Perth sitting just outside on their percentage alone on 8. Perth with 4 points. And then, as I said last week, it's the teams with East in their name. East Perth, East Fremantle, just yet to register a win.
And once again, you know, happy Easter to all the loyal Monday Waffle listeners. It's just been a duo show today. I've had fun.
It's been cruisy, actually.
Yeah.
There's less confrontation when there's not a third voice.
Yeah, you're right there, Jared. So for all the listeners out there, I'm Luke Shibway.
I'm Jared Gardner, and you've been listening to the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.